Welcome to the Forging Honor podcast. I'm Jonathan George.
And I'm Benjamin Jones. Here at Forging Honor, we explore what it means to live as Christian men. Along the way, we'll be doing challenges, building habits and character through action.
In today's episode, Banjo and I discuss the time that we spend on our devices, how generational tech habits influence us, and then we try to notice some of the things that distract us. All right. It is challenge check-in time. As a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's a total of 42 days. They are simple daily tasks to grow us as Christian men. The current challenge is simply turn your phone completely off for 1 hour every day. Banjo, how is it going for you?
7 out of 7.
Let's go. He hit 100%. You know, we need a little cowbell or something to ring. We got to start having celebrations when we hit that, it.
Yeah, some little pep in the step. No, it's been good. I want to say this has been the best week mentally with the phone relationship. I would say I think I am coming to some different things where I'm like, I'm coming to acceptance of my relationship with my phone. Like I see what the purpose of the thing is, and I'm a little less afraid of it, a little more comfortable with it. At the same time, I'm recognizing what the phone opens me up to. Like I'm seeing more of like the phone itself isn't always what's harmful,
right?
But like the way that I spend my time on my phone is more harmful, and figuring out how to get some of those things under control, which we can talk about later, is going to be, I think, kind of for me progressing into the next step of this challenge.
Right,
trying to figure out how do I control what am I doing on the phone is going to be kind of the next thing to think about. How about you? How has this week been?
7 out of 7. We're looking good. It's been greatly helped by the fact that I've not been using a smartphone. And similarly, kind of working through some of that relationship stuff by having such a complete cutout of the smartphone, and really having a phone that is only for the purpose of calling the occasional text, because it's a T9 keyboard and those are not fun to text on. But yeah, kind of coming at it from a different side, but yes, learning, okay, what is the purpose of this thing? Why do I need it? Why do I use it? So I'm actually excited. I have on order, and I'll get it tomorrow, a new phone that's kind of halfway between dumb phone, smartphone. It's the Cat.
Is it a light phone?
No, it's not. It's the Cat S22. So it's a flip phone, but it runs a version of Android Go. So it's like a super light version of Android. And the reason I went for that, one, it's $60 instead of $200 for the light phone. Two, it is a flip phone and it will be annoying to use. However, because it runs Android Go, I'll be able to have some of the apps that are actually necessary. So some of the QR code readers that are extremely helpful. It does have a very small screen. So like if I need to read a menu somewhere, or scan in for a ticket or something. And then it will have a few other things. Like I'll be able to use Signal on it, which is my primary messaging app at this point.
Okay.
So it just comes with a few of the conveniences of the smartphone, but still with enough of the annoyances of the dumb phone. And I was just reading some reviews and a lot of folks like it better than, things like the Lite phone or the Punct phone or things like that, that are meant to be a smaller form factor, simply because a lot of the newer stripped back phones, you know, they have a custom operating system of some sort, or because they're kind of so stripped back and they're very, while they're intentionally designed, they almost do away with some of the purposes of what the phone has become in the modern age. So I'm excited. It's one of those things that, like, I could theoretically load a social media app on there, but the annoyance of using it, you know, people just say, like, it's so annoying to use Twitter or something. Like, it's just not even worth doing.
Yeah.
But if you have to,
you don't have that temptation in that direction.
But if you have to open a link to sign in somewhere or use an authenticator app because you're logging in for work or something, you have that option. So I'm excited. I get that tomorrow. I get to set it up. It's the most excited I've been about getting a new piece of tech in a long time. You know, I think I haven't been this excited about a new piece of tech since I bought like my laptop freshman year of college.
Okay.
And the joy of setting that. It's a high point for me.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Well, it's good we could bring that to you. This is, you know, always exciting when the Forge can be an excuse. I mean, an opportunity.
Yes, yes.
For new technology to be tested.
It is funny. My wife has commented before, like, you kind of just use Forging Otter as a way to explore whatever you're into right now. Like, I'm like, yeah, totally. Why not?
Isn't that what it's for?
A little bit. But you kind of mentioned the realization of how you spend your time versus the temptations of the device itself. I'm wondering,
right?
So we should say Banjo is recording from a remote location. So one, forgive any audio quality stuff that we might run into today.
And yes, two, and I am bunking with my family. So if there's loud noises and crashes in the background, it's my dear loved ones, you know, raising Cain in the background.
Wonderful stuff. But then two, has that contributed to how you're experiencing the hour away from your phone this week?
Yeah, I mean, it was actually fun. So I'm staying with my parents and my siblings for a little bit of time. In an undisclosed location. But my parents had listened to, for this was their first time doing it, but they had listened to an episode of the show. They knew which challenge we were on. And so my mom before dinner yesterday, said, "Oh, I'm turning my phone off. This is the hour away."
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. And so we got to spend that time together, and I was more conscious of it. And I think, you know, stepping away from the phone is good because in this setting in particular, because just, you know, spending time with your relatives, even close relatives like siblings and, you know, mom and dad, carries with it like this awkwardness to it that is the social interaction that's normal. And, you know, the automatic, what I want to do in an awkward situation is I want to go to my phone. You know, I want to be there. It's more comfortable. I've also recognized my siblings are a little bit younger than me. The way that they communicate with one another is kind of through the phone, even when they're in the same room. Whether that's like they're showing one another a meme, or they're referencing a group text, or they're taking a video, like whatever it is, the phone is kind of this conduit to communication, even when they're in the same physical space. And I don't have that as much. I think I'm just a little bit older than them. And so I was a little bit behind that, or a little bit ahead of that change in the generations.
Kind of a note there on the generation stuff, just as an interjection, then we can get back to the thought. You and I are in a very interesting place where
we're right in the gap.
We're in the gap. We're technically part of the Zoomer or iGen generation, as I like to call them.
Yeah.
We're technically in that group based on birth year. But I think you and I kind of growing up, at least for me, most of my friends are older than me. And I spent more time with adults than folks my own age for a lot of my life. Like, I don't know. I just
we're also both oldest
that.
Children, right?
Yes, we are. Yep. That will have an effect on that. So you're right. We are in this interesting cutoff where, like, you know, even my brother, who's a couple years younger than me, experiences technology very differently than I do.
Anyway, we're talking about T9 texting. I wonder how many of our listeners still know what T9 texting is. You know,
Fair enough,
if they're younger than us, they might.
Or even how to do it
effectively. We won't get into it, especially because it might traumatize some of our older listeners who still remember it.
Or they might like it for some nostalgic reasons. But yes, back to the family interactions.
So there's a group chat that my other siblings, there's a way that they communicate because they spend time together on apps like Instagram or Snapchat, and I don't have those for various reasons, and so I don't participate in those kind of family dynamics in that way. And on the one hand, I feel a little bit left out because of that, but on the other hand, it's like, okay, so how do I navigate that? How do I, and really not trying to say like, okay, so like I want to get rid of the phones. That's not even really what I'm thinking about. But how do I, as somebody who's on the cusp of a generation, learn to interact with somebody who's, in a generation younger than me and in a generation older than me? How do I kind of like fine tune that balance? This is kind of funny. I brought my DVDs to this vacation. because I was like, well, I need my physical media. I need physical media to bring so that I can share and enjoy a moment with my family. Come to find out there's no DVD player in the cabin that we're in.
Whoa.
You know, it has all of the, not at all. I mean, it has a TV, but it's a smart TV. And so, you access everything through Amazon or YouTube, whatever you want to do. And so I've been feeling this month, I guess, in the challenge, kind of how much I'm on the cusp, like how much I lean towards this kind of older mindset of interacting with technology, even though I'm a fairly young person. I don't know. Do you feel that tension? I mean, you right now, I'm watching you and dear listener, you can't see this, but as JJ was gesturing a moment ago, in his hand was a fountain pen. Which is a great little, you know, it's one of those great JJ-isms. But, you know, you like an older thing.
Yes.
Do you feel that gap maybe? Are you aware of that tension at all as an almost Zoomer?
I'm somewhat aware of it. I think I'm also, it's a little bit less of the tension of kind of my own generation and more the tension of just the things I appreciate. And I think a lot of that just has to do with, you know, I was raised to appreciate certain things. So even if I am in the younger generation, and even if I have, you know, I have group chats I'm in, and I do enjoy some of that online interaction. But a lot of it comes down to, I just so love the tactile and the analog that I think if there's any tension, it's in finding the other people that also appreciate those things. So it,
right.
Like I'll feel left out sometimes, but on the other hand, like there's so much about the online culture that I just don't enjoy participating in that at a certain point I don't care. And there's a, yeah, I don't know. Like when I ditched the smartphone for this challenge, you know, I got pulled out an MP3 player I had, and I'm using that for my music and my podcasts. People give me a funny look when I plug in my headphones into my MP3 player to listen to a podcast at work or listen to some music or something. And there's definitely oddities that come with that, but I think I've also learned to kind of embrace that. You know, I had a coworker the other day just comment on, you seem like, oh, you like some of the more old fashioned stuff. Like he just kind of knew. And part of that is I dress a certain way and I act a certain way, and it might be considered a little bit more old fashioned, but I think if you kind of embrace that and you're like, okay, yes, I'm going to stand out a little bit. I don't want to do that in a, I'm better than you kind of way, but in a way of this is who I am. And I'm not ashamed about, like in some sense, you know, I hate some of the modern, like we have Pride Month now and like the whole embrace who you are thing. But in right, some sense, right. Because that exists, you can get away with a little bit more on this side of things. So like if anything good has come of the be who you want to be generation that we're in, it's that I can say, well, this is who I am and I appreciate these things. And yeah, I think they're better than a lot of other stuff. And people kind of go, oh, that's cool. And they move on. And I think, you know, at one point in my life, it was like high school, especially, there was a little bit more of that. You had to stay up to date with whatever the newest tech was in order to be considered cool. I don't know. There's some tension there for me because I don't like other aspects, a lot of aspects of the modern generation, the modern era of be who you want to be. But does that make sense?
Sort of. I mean, yeah, I'd be interested to really kind of pull on that thread a little bit because I think be who you want to be is really misleading in other words, I think. Like I hear what you're saying, and I think the be who you want to be is not actually what you're talking about. Like,
interesting.
That would be my hypothesis anyway, because the thing about be who you want to be, I think, is fundamentally pretty selfish.
Absolutely.
But I think that the and if you're gonna go with a be who you want to be thought, that's a trend that's gonna put you in a place, I think, generally speaking, that is self-centered, and that's not who you are.
That's fair. So, that's fair.
So if I look at what you're, if I look at that, I'm like, no, I don't think that's who you are. Because I don't think it's, I don't think it's actually that you are like, I'm going to be who I want to be. But I think it's actually that you see those things, those that are analog and that are old fashioned, and you are secure in the fact that, that this is helping you in your identity in Christ.
Yes.
Specifically, probably in the way that it's like, I think if you are more thoughtful about the technology that you use and how you use it, you're actually more thoughtful about how that technology affects the people around you. Mm. And so you're actually less self-centered and you're more others focused.
Right.
And I think that's really the difference between like in high school where you're like, oh my gosh, you don't have an MP3 player. Oh my gosh, you don't have, you know, an iPhone.
The new iPod
12.
You know, back when iPods were a thing.
The iPod Touch, whatever it is.
Oh man, I wanted one of those so badly. Everyone I knew had one.
So fancy. But I think if we can shift out of like, I need this phone, I need this tech, because I need it. And I think if we instead slow down and say, well, like, how does the tech I have serve those around me?
Mm.
I think that's probably where we really want to be with these things.
That makes sense. I agree. I think all I'm saying is there's a little bit more license to do that now.
Sure.
And like if I go to work and this is the tech I've chosen to use, it's I think there would be a sense of if my coworkers knocked me for that, it'd be
hypocritical.
Right. And I think they're kind of aware of that.
Yeah.
And it kind of gives me the license. I don't know. I do want to be careful about it because you're right. It's not me being who I want to be, but it's me trying to seek a better life as I see that allows me to glorify God better. And in that,
right.
Care for others better, care for my family better, care for those around me better. But in a brief moment of, well, I'm sorry, I have a dumb phone. I can't do that. You know, mm-hmm. I can't open that link you sent me because I have a dumb phone. You don't have time to explain all that.
Right.
But, you know, what is someone going to do? Like, oh, how dare you not have a smartphone? They're going to go, oh, have to pause. Oh, that's cool. I respect that. And that's usually the response I get after a weird pause.
Yeah. I think it is a cool, maybe even just a subtle opening to the gospel. Like it's a really small doorway to say like, well, like, why don't you have a smartphone? Or why don't you have, you know, whatever app it is. And just say, oh, well, you know, I think it helps me in my Christian walk. It's a door that gets opened, you know, and it might be kind of a weird way to go, maybe, or is it just a different way to do it? But I think, mm-hmm. you know, I think about the Amish sometimes.
Right.
You know, and I don't think we should go Amish. I would be pretty miserable in an Amish world.
You don't know that. You haven't tried yet.
I haven't tried, but I wouldn't have movies.
Fair enough.
And without movies, that would do.
Actually, I'm going to interrupt you there because I've been reading this book. I mentioned it either last episode or the episode before. Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport. It's kind of the textbook that people reference. Like you'll see online YouTube videos. They'll talk about being a digital minimalist. And he has a whole section in here about the Amish and about how they implement technology into their lives. So they actually do use a decent amount of tech. But there's a in their communities, he mentioned, and it depends on the community. You know, some are a little more progressive with their tech use than others. But they often have like a central place in the community that's like the phone, I don't know, phone barn or whatever, phone shed.
Right.
And that's where people go to use a phone.
We need to go back to the payphone.
Well, and that's kind of what this is. And so have someone, if someone goes, oh, here's a piece of technology that I think would benefit our community.
Yeah.
They'll kind of designate, all right, this one person's going to test it. The rest of us are going to kind of observe and see what happens and then decide, is this worth bringing into the community? And so they do that in very limited ways. But usually it's with the purpose of, does this build the community or not? So no one has like an individual, like I have a smartphone in my room thing, but oh, it is worth having the ability to communicate in some way to the outside world. So we're going to have a central place where the community can come together and do that. So yeah. Anyway, I think that he mentions like some of the communities probably do have the ability to watch a movie or something, but like it's a community activity. Nobody just says, I'm going to watch a movie on my own. So that was interesting, that particular chapter where he talks about that, just because it goes back to what we're saying about, does the tech that we're using, does it benefit those around us, or is it just about us?
Yeah. No, and I think it's an admirable stance from the Amish. You know, I wouldn't go as far as they do, but I do think, especially for families, as you're considering, you know, bringing in different pieces of tech, it's usually, I think, I know for myself, it's very easy to get swept up into, well, everybody has this, you know, or if, you know, if I'm going to keep up with everybody, if I'm going to be part of the conversation, I have to have this piece of tech. But I suppose it's worth taking that Amish second to say, is it worth being part of that conversation? Is that actually a discussion that's valuable?
Right.
That's gonna be better.
Well, and for us, I think a lot of it comes down to bringing it into our families. So my wife and I were talking about, okay, there are enough things that warrant having a smartphone. So maybe we'll just have a family smartphone.
Right.
And that whoever needs it for maps or maybe they're traveling and, you know, they want to listen to music or something, the whoever needs it in that moment gets to take it. But there's just the one family smartphone. So we're actually about to go on a road trip, and next week I'll be recording in a remote location. But we're going to do that. We're going to try it and just see. All right, we're going to use my wife's smartphone as the family smartphone for the trip.
Hmm.
And, you know, I'll have my dumb phone and we'll see how that goes. I think it'll be a fun experiment.
Yeah, that'll be cool to see when we check in and we do our recording. It'll be cool to see how that changes. Have there been other pieces of technology that you've looked at over the last week or so that you've started to maybe think about some of these questions with as well, where you're like, I wonder if I could do, you know, if I could, I get away without this piece of tech, or could I move away from this piece?
I don't know about moving away from. I think because I ditched the smartphone so early on in this challenge, you know, John McCollum very much inspired me.
Yeah.
It's more been re-implementing certain things and figuring out how can I re-implement some stuff. So like we got a little point and shoot camera. And
oh, nice.
We're trying that out. The quality isn't amazing. It, you know, it has a bit of that nostalgic, you know, late 90s, early 2000s look, which is kind of fun. So we have that, but we also still have my wife's smartphone camera, which is a million,
right,
million times better. You know, I found, you know, if I forgot to load something on my MP3 player, all I have is the radio.
Right.
So that's interesting, is listening to some radio again. Fortunately, my drive home is often during Braves games. So
oh, nice.
I often, you know, I've been listening to baseball for the first time in literally forever. That's been fun. And, you know, it's a good time. So, and there's aspects of that where I'm like, okay, maybe that could be like, there are some things where I could see a benefit to implementing some specific tech back into our lives. Like we haven't had a TV for so long.
Mm-hmm.
We have a crappy old TV that we pull into the house occasionally, but we just have used our laptops to watch movies or TV shows.
Yeah.
But I think it could be fun to set up like a centralized place in the home. That's this is where we go consume media as a family.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And to make that as a family activity, my brothers and I growing up, as we were falling asleep, we would have the Pirates game on, and we would fall asleep to the Pirates game on the radio. Baseball is a sport. It's beautifully designed for radio. Just the storytelling.
It really
of it
is,
all,
and the fact so that in, you know, in 3 seconds you can know exactly what's going on. Like you can tune in at any point in the game, and the announcer will give you the exact rundown, and you'll know.
I don't know if this is true or not, and I might be messing the story up. And this is a digression, but I think it's very funny. Ronald Reagan, if I'm remembering the story correctly, Ronald Reagan for a while was a sports announcer for a radio. But he was at a particular location and there was a ticker tape machine he was sitting in an office and a ticker tape machine would come in and it for baseball games, the box score would come through and they would pipe in sounds like like baseball bats, and they would pipe in like a crowd roaring and stuff like that. And it was all recorded and he would just narrate what was coming across on the ticker tape. And so one time he's recording on the ticker tape and the machine stops and nothing is coming in across. So he doesn't know. It's like for 20 minutes, there's like nothing happens. And so there he just has to come up with something. And so he just starts in his imagination, it's foul ball after foul ball after foul ball. And he just keeps telling the audience listening at home, well, that's another foul ball coming in across the plate. And he just kept it going.
For 20 minutes?
And something like that. Yeah, until the machine started working again. But so anyway, I like that idea of bringing the TV back. I think there really is something to having like almost like a digital campfire for the family in some sense. Like for growing up for me, My family watched a lot of TV. We watched a lot of different shows, and we really built a shared vocabulary through some of these shows that we watched, and that was really helpful because it gave us a way of relating to one another. It gave us a way of communicating, and it helped us to kind of like make sense of our experience in a way that really knitted us together well as a family. On the flip side, it makes conversation with people I don't know sometimes difficult because I just assume that everyone has as much reference to 80s and 90s television that I do.
Right.
And they don't. And so sometimes people will just kind of stare at me funny when I quote Seinfeld.
So there's a question. Are we just being nostalgic for a previous era, or are we actually considering these things carefully?
I think it's a good question. I think there's enough evidence from folks around the internet, around academia, around the world, really, that have picked up on there's a general problem. There's a general trend that, certain things are increasing, whether it's depression, whether it's anxiety, whether it's, suicide rates among teens, whatever it is, there's an increased negative. Well, I'll just end it at negative. There's an increased negative in the world, polarization in the political world, and I think there's enough traces of correlation. They're not necessarily causation, to tie back to our information podcast with Ben Schoons. Not necessarily enough causation, but there's certainly enough correlation to suggest that this new technology of the iPhone and our kind of unlimited access to the internet has been really dangerous. I think I just rewatched the movie The Social Network, which I think is a great movie. Many would say, and I would probably be among them, that it's one of the most important movies of the 21st century. So if you haven't seen it, it's worth checking out. And it's all about the invention of Facebook, and it's not a it shouldn't be viewed as a documentary. It's not a historical document of how Facebook was founded, but I think it works extremely well as a cautionary parable of what it's like to live in the digital age, and I think it especially depicts really what's most dangerous about the internet age, which is that social media is built on comparison. The way that it's designed is always to have you comparing yourself to somebody else. And it's in really implicit ways. It's not even explicit. It's really just something as simple as here's one picture over here, here's one picture over here, which do you like? And that causes us to make really implicit judgments about people. I think we kind of have to become more judgmental of a piece in the internet world, because what are we doing when we're looking at images? We're judging.
Right.
Well,
it's a more rapid judgment too, right? It's not the stand back, look at a painting, ponder it, think about it.
It's not perceiving.
Right.
It's judging.
It's a quick snap judgment and then move on to the next one. Back to Cal Newport, he talks about this in his book, about there've been several different studies on use of social media. And for a long time, they seemed contradictory because there would be one group that would say, turns out using social media makes you happier. And another group that says, no, it's making you more depressed. And he kind of teased out some of the data and worked out that really what was going on were the people that felt happier using social media were providing more input. So the more input someone gave in the form of actually producing content for social media, putting out pictures, putting out videos, et cetera, they would often feel happier in their use of it versus the people that never posted. They just kind of lurked and would, you know, go through, like, and follow and et cetera. They would feel more and more depressed over time. So there is a sense in which, I think you're exactly right. It's the consumptive nature of it. On the other hand, when we feel like we're connecting to other people, when we feel like, oh, look, I'm putting stuff out into the world, we feel happier. So I think there are ways in which we can kind of balance that out, right? You don't want to just be a consumer of the internet. If you're going to be involved, you should contribute.
It's true, but I think part of the problem here, and if folks haven't seen, I'm going to throw out another, this is a documentary, but The Social Dilemma. So not the Social Network. Go watch that movie. That's worth seeing. But then once you're done with that, go check out The Social Dilemma. Two different things. That one's on Netflix. The Social Dilemma.
Phenomenal documentary.
Really, really good. And one thing that movie really or that documentary really points out well is how we're carrying casinos in our pocket. The internet on the iPhone. Or on the, you know, whatever your smartphone is, it has a casino effect where, you know, you lose track of time. You know, a casino is designed to be this bright and flashy place. There's no clocks in a casino. There's no windows. You know, you're in there to lose as much time as possible, because the longer you're in a casino, the more money you spend, the more money they make. And the same thing applies to your iPhone, right? The more money or the more time you spend literally on your device, the more money people are making. And so everything about the apps is designed to keep you there, is designed to give you another dopamine hit. Whether that's just like the way that the scrolling on Facebook is designed, or the little, like, you know, the little circle, the little death wheel, as things reload, is just there to keep you there in place. And I say all this not to be like, well, you know, burn your phone now, but just to say it's worth doing the exercise that we're doing, JJ, I think, because we're stopping for a second to think about what we're engaging with. We're slowing down for a minute to think about what is our Christian duty with these things. I think this is really the definition of, like, all things are lawful. You know, it's lawful to use your phone. There's nothing in the Bible against that. But what is beneficial, right? How do we use this in a way that glorifies God and enjoys Him forever? And there should be a way to use the phone for that. And we just need to slow down and think about it. So, I mean, that would be my take on it. I don't know how you would modify that or
no,
change that.
I don't have much to add to that other than I also 100% recommend The Social Dilemma and just some of the lessons there. The guy behind it, Tristan Harris, and his foundation, the Center for Humane Technology, I think it's called, he has definitely inspired a lot of how I have thought about tech. He's not a Christian, but, you know, he hit the scene, I guess it would have been 2016, 2017. He had left Google as their, his official title was Product Philosopher, which was a made up title, because he was recognizing some of the things that was happening with Google products. And he came and he wrote a manifesto about it. And then he was promoted to this position to, like, sit and, you know, think about, okay, how is this tech affecting our users? And one of the reasons he left was he discovered his findings were not being used to make it more mindful, but rather to make it more addictive. Because he was very aware of how how it was being made more addictive. So he would report on that and be like, oh, let's do more of that. So it was directly against why he was in that role. So he left and started this Center for Humane Technology. But, he really goes into that mindful use of our tech and really evaluating it. And he does it purely from a perspective. Again, he's not a Christian. He's doing it purely from a perspective of the self and a perspective of what's good for you in your own pursuits. But I think we as Christians can take that and utilize that, kind of twist it into, okay, what's good for our pursuit of God? What's good for our pursuit of our families and of our spouses, those around us? I think kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier in this conversation.
Yeah, and I just want to say real quick that these things are incredibly insidious and tiny, like so small, you won't notice them unless you're looking for them.
Right.
So, for example, right now, JJ and I are using a particular recording device or app, whatever you want to call it. And on this app, there's the option to you can show yourself. You can have two images up in front of you of your one of yourself and one of your co-host. Today, JJ and I have both taken down our own faces, and we're only able to see the person across from us. So I can only see JJ on my screen. He can only see me. Right above JJ's head on my computer is a little icon. And it says, it's got a little eyeball, and it says show self. And this is the thing here that if I click it, it will put me back up, and there will be now two screens, and I can see JJ and myself. That button right now is pulsating. There's a little purple light that's going on and off and on and off. And the design of that is to get me to hit that button. That isn't going to produce any. I'm not going to be a better host for having that on. I'll actually probably be a worse host because I'll be focusing more on myself than I will on JJ. But this app is pushing me to do that. And my suspicion is because I'll be happier if I can see myself or I'll feel better.
You might think you're happier, right?
Yeah, or at least I'll want to spend more time on the app because I get to look at me, right? And human beings are generally just narcissistic.
We love mirrors.
Yeah, we love mirrors. We like the most beautiful sound is the sound of our own voice.
And unless it's recorded and then we go back and listen to it, in which case,
that's
for some
true.
Reason, we all hate it universally.
But this app knows that I want that, knows that I'm itching to, like, it's almost like I'm Frodo and I want to put the ring on. You know, I want to hit that button. And so just very subtly, it's blinking on and off at me. And I think that's a really good image for what the internet is doing all the time. You know,
right.
Even I think about X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it. I will never be able to call it X. It's always going to be Twitter.
I call it X, the app formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, it's like formerly, the artist formerly known as Prince.
Right, right.
Anyway, the sign on, like if you have a blank tweet, right, it says what's on your mind, right, or what's happening in your world, something like that, right?
Right.
It's as if there's a great line from the West Wing, or not from the West Wing, from The Social Network, where one character says to another, it's as if you think that every beautiful thought that flew through your head was something that had to be shared with the world.
Right.
That's what we live in. So I don't know. I think it's worth slowing down and observing some of these things and just seeing how much of the modern world is aimed at getting us to speak our minds, even on subjects we know nothing about.
Well, I think that's probably a good stretch goal for this last week of the challenge is, as you go through it, try to be aware of what are those little things that are tugging at you to spend more time, that are tugging at you for your attention. And maybe jot down some notes of those if you still have a honor journal going. I think it'll be interesting to see the results of that next week.
Yeah. And just to close the loop on that, and maybe to think about what Paul tells us to do about whatever is good, whatever is honorable, whatever is noble, whatever is truthful, you know, to think on these things, and maybe just to think about, are we doing that in our internet time? And is the internet pulling us into thinking about what is good and true and beautiful? also, I don't think that has to be always what's happy or what makes us feel good.
Right, right.
I think seeing things that are sad and overwhelming can actually be extremely beautiful if painful. So anyway, just to think about those things that we're taking in.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, I'm excited to go into this last week. I'm excited to see what the results are of this complete challenge. Can't believe we're already almost to the end. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. Finish strong.
So as a reminder, challenges last for 6 weeks. That's a total of 42 days. Again, they are simple daily tasks to grow us as Christian men. And the current challenge is to turn your phone completely off for 1 hour every day.
This has been the Forging Honor Podcast. Music and production is by Elliot George. For more information about what we do or to learn how to get involved, visit our website at forginghonor.com. There you'll find information about our community, The Forge, and how to join other young men seeking to glorify God in thought, word, and deed. You'll also find blog articles, book recommendations, and more ways to grow as a Christian man.
If you enjoyed the show, please tell a friend or family member about Forging Honor. We would also appreciate it if you would take a moment to like and subscribe. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, a rating and review only takes a moment, and it goes a long way towards growing the Forging Honor community.
Thanks for taking the time with us today. We hope you'll take up the work alongside us and join us in the task of Forging Honor. We'll see you next time.